Welcome back to the BOMA, a podcast hosted by the International Livestock Research Institute, discussing livestock issues that impact the Global South. My name is Tim Ofeato, and I'm your host. COVID-19 has had the world at a standstill since early last year. But even as more and more people are receiving the COVID-19 vaccine, we are still figuring out where COVID-19 came from. Last month, the World Health Organization and a joint team including 10 international experts published their report about the origins of the pandemic. That team included Hung Nguyen Viet, co-leader of the Animal and Human Health Program at ILRI, who went to Wuhan to investigate the origin of the virus. The team came up with four scenarios about how the pandemic started. I asked him to explain more.
So if I go really from the most likely to less likely scenarios, we start third week the transmission of the virus to human through an immediate host. It means that, you know, the hypothesis or the scenarios would be the virus started with a host reservoir and, you know, jump into another animal before jumping to human. So that was evaluated as the most likely scenarios in the report. The second one is the direct spinover from the host reservoir to human. The third one is linked to the food environment. The virus emerged somewhere and it can be transmitted on the frozen food, because that was actually Chinese found some evidence from food package and food imported from other country. So it was trying as possible to likely. And the last one was linked to the lab leak, and that was ranked as extremely unlikely based on the knowledge at that time.
What was your role on the team? I know you are a biologist by training.
Actually, we have 17 international experts. Some of them work for WHO, and 10 experts were selected by WHO for that mission. Because of the nature of the study, the composition of the team is very much in the One Health spirit. It means that, you know, you have really different experts from different disciplines. I was not the only biologist in the team. So basically, you had a medical doctor, you had virologists, you had epidemiologists, you had biologists, ecologists, both on WHO side and Chinese side.
When you arrived in Wuhan, what were the first things that you did? Were you first having meetings with the Chinese scientists, getting on the same page, or did you directly go and start studying the four scenarios that you mentioned earlier?
Okay, so before coming to China, we already had several meetings between WHO experts and Chinese colleagues to define the scope of work, make planning, but also we started discussing the result of different study conducted by Chinese colleagues. And once we were in Wuhan, we started our 2 weeks quarantine in a hotel. But we started immediately having meeting among the group, but also with Chinese colleagues. So we had a meeting together every day. And after 2 weeks, and we really met Chinese colleagues in person. And there we had meeting face to face, and we visited different sites. We analyzed data together, having a lot of discussion, meeting partners. And, you know, lastly, we came up with these four scenarios I presented earlier.
Okay, so it's really a collaborative mission from the very beginning, even before you traveled to Wuhan.
That is correct. And actually, we kept in mind that was a joint team or a joint study, because it was not an WHO study alone. You know, that was really a collaboration, a partnership between WHO and China. Because you know that these international experts, we only had 28 days in China, And that time, really, you know, it was not a plan for us to really go out to the in the field, collecting samples, doing analysis, etc. It was really the time for us to work with Chinese partner, who most of them conducted study before. So we reanalyze the data, discuss different options, and come up with a conclusion and write up the report.
So the first outbreak of COVID-19 happened at the wet market in Wuhan. Did you go there, and could you tell us about what that research was like and also describe the market?
The market was already closed 1 year ago when we came. So I think that we were the first foreigners to visit the market since the closure. They show us how the markets work, and we walk around, we identify the place where different cases took place. I mean, the human case, COVID-19 case took place. I was part of the animal and environment working group in this mission. So we particularly were interested in understanding what was sold in the market at that time. So it's very interesting to learn that, you know, from outside point of view, when people hear about seafood market or wholesale market, people might think that it was really for the purpose of wholesale. But no, that was quite traditional market where you had about 600, 700 small stones, about 10 square or 20 square meters, where people sold many things, mainly seafood, but they did sell also other type of animal source food like chicken, pork, but also vegetable and other type of thing. And they found 10 stones had wildlife meat, wildlife products. And actually, one of the interesting information is, in fact, you know, some of these species were susceptible to coronavirus. Chinese colleagues also, they track back this product to the origin where this came from. Some of these species came from the wildlife farming in south of China, in Yunnan province, in Guangdong, in Guangxi, for example. And you might remember that, you know, some of the study before showing that in that provinces, in particular in Yunnan, they found coronavirus in bat, and that coronavirus was very closely linked to the SARS-CoV-2. So we made some link and interpretation on the potential emergence of disease in that context. So that is one of the key points in the report. The second point is, in fact, you know, many samples were collected actually in this Hunan market. They collected almost 1,000 samples, and they found mostly positive samples, you know, positive with SARS-CoV-2 virus from the environmental samples, mostly from surface, and in sewage, this kind of thing. But they didn't find any positive samples from meat or from the wildlife. But you see, this sample is quite, in terms of number, it was quite small. So even we didn't find virus in that product, one of the main recommendations is really to conduct a tracing back study to understand how this wild animal were raised and the contact with people, and also, more importantly, contact with wildlife in nature.
There's also been, in the media, there's been a lot of pressure and amplification about this idea that it could have been a lab leak. Did you go visit a lab, for instance? And what were the conclusions there?
We could agree with Chinese to visit, actually, a few labs in Wuhan during our stay. But the most important visits from the labs, that was the first visit to Wuhan Institute of Virology, that is a P4 lab. And actually, we had a tour of the lab where the senior management showing us how it functions, how it works, different type of work they doing. And after the tour, we had a quite long meeting in meeting room with different member of the lab, where they really went in depth to present us what they do in terms of research, with what type of partnerships, and you know, the research performance in China. So it was very impressive. And we spent 3 or 4 hours really to start the Q&A session, where the expert in one side, we asked question we wanted, and they really responded to us and exchange information. And also during that mission, as I mentioned before, that was a joy team. So Chinese colleagues was always with us, and they also asked question in this meeting.
What were some of the questions that you asked, or like were asked, and then what were the like takeaways as a mission from those conversations?
Yeah, so people keep asking us, you know, how did we do the audit of the lab? I would say that, you know, that was not an audit as such, mm-hmm. because we had a few hours and we really targeted different type of questions that people wanted to know. So, for example, you know, we questioned about how the lab was managed and how was the health of staff were recorded and taken care by the management. And, you know, this type of question was answered by the senior management member of the lab. For example, they said that they had a very good recording system of health of their staff. And during that time, in particular, of COVID time, you know, they regularly tested their staff, and no one was positive so far at that time. So we asked the question, how the data is managed, what type of diseases and virus they work in this P4 lab. Some of the, I would say, sensitive questions around the lab leak theory. And based on the response they have, you know, we come up with the recommendation, because actually at that time, I think that we discussed also the possibility of the lab leak, you know, accident of different labs in the world, and also, you know, the evidence we have in the literature and the discussion with people from Wuhan Institute of Virology. So really the conclusion of the team really based on that information we had at that time. Now people can say that, okay, yeah, you know, we didn't really do a very careful audit of the lab. That is true. That was not the job we were asked to do.
You went to the market, you went to a couple of labs, and you also went other places. What are the recommendations, and then also the next steps?
We recommended that, you know, we should pursue the first transmission pathway from host reservoir to immediate host to human, because all the information and evidence we found suggested that is the most likely way that virus emerged and it was transmitted to human. If you go back to that report and, you know, what to do next, so that should be the first priority that we recommended. The last scenarios we put on the report was about the lab leak. And, you know, media talk a lot about this recommendation as well. And I need to really remind that the lab leak is one of the four pathway we put in the report. It means that it's still there. We rank it as extremely unlikely because of the knowledge and of the evidence from the group we had in Wuhan. But it doesn't mean that, you know, the group rule out these scenarios, because maybe, you know, more information comes. This is a really involving process for any scenarios or any pathway of transmission of the study. If the information come more, so, you know, people can change the mind and, you know, change the recommendation of the report, because we didn't have enough knowledge maybe to rank different things at that time. That's why, you know, I can tell you at the last meeting of WHO with member state last week, the member of the study was invited to attend this meeting, and we listened to the comment of WHO DG Dr. Tedros. And he said that maybe we need to do more properly this study on the lab. But maybe that is one of the options that WHO and China will pursue in future.
Hung and his colleagues recommended that further research should focus on the wildlife farms in the south of China, because that's where animals at the market in Wuhan may have come from. And while the mission was still in Wuhan, they were told that a virus closely related to COVID-19 had been found in Cambodia and Thailand. If the World Health Organization's mission to find the origin of the virus continues, it will probably have to expand beyond China. Hung Nguyen Viet is just one of Ilri's scientists working on COVID-19 and other zoonotic diseases. To find out more, visit whylivestockmatter.org and stay tuned for the future episodes of The Boma, where we'll discuss One Health, optimal health for people, animals, and the environment in more detail. Special thanks to Hung for interviewing with us, and Jeremy Cherfis and Animal Slater for production and technical support. Keep joining us at The Boma, where we will continue to bring you more stories from the lab, desk, and field. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast, and leave us a review if you appreciate the show.